Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. Imagine being able to travel. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
I'm Krista.
So this week we're going to continue our year and month and everything to do with Marvel.
Yes. Yep.
But this week we're going to talk all about WandaVision.
That's right. We gave you a week and like 2 days to get caught up and rewatch and all that fun stuff. So this is now spoilers ahead.
No holds barred, spoiler central, yeah.
Okay. Before we get to that, though, we've been talking March Madness as well, but the good kind of March Madness, not the basketball kind, Disney kind.
Yeah, no basketball.
Specifically, this year we're looking at Disney Parks kind, Disneyland.
Ooh.
Yes, so we've been talking best dark ride, best snack item. This last week we were talking favorite entertainment at Disneyland. And our options were Fantasmic, the Dapper Dans, the parades, and fireworks. And Fantasmic was a winner. And in fact, I got one message that was like, all of these things are fantastic and wonderful and things like that, but how dare you put them in the same category as Fantasmic, because
it's not really fair. I also felt that way about poor Mr. Toad being in the same category
as
pirates.
That's so it isn't
fair,
negating any of these other things. We just were like, these are four amazing things.
That's just like basketball March Madness, though.
It's true.
You got these powerhouse schools with their major teams, and they plow through the little baby schools, and that's just the way it goes. So
that is the way it goes. This. So Fantasmic wins.
Yeah, the right choice.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. We have our last category.
Before the final four.
And that's going to be thrill rides. And so we're actually doing for the mountains. You can check out Instagram and Facebook and all that kind of fun stuff to vote on that for this coming week. Or drop us a message on our website. All that information is going to be available at the end of the show.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so another thing we do every week here is we talk about a little nerd thing we've been doing in the previous week.
Yeah, we're pretty nerdy.
A little bit, yeah. So what did you have on the go this week, Krista?
Okay, so I don't know if you can tell, but I kind of like Animal Crossing.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. I talk about it a lot. I like make my characters Disney bound. I have one of my two houses on our island, which is now kind of my island, has been done like Disneyland. But myself and three other ladies have officially started an Instagram Animal Crossing account. And it is 4bells.acnh, and it's for the number 4 and then B-E-L-L-E-S and .acnh. If you want to check it out, it's brand new. It's like 2 days old and I'm very excited about it. So that was super fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, I was also playing video games this week, and I played through the entire Drake's Uncharted 2 or whatever the heck the title is. This has an interesting Disney connection, of course, because Tom Holland is currently filming the film adaptation.
Yes, you told me that.
Of that game/movie now. Yeah. So, yeah, that should be interesting. I think he'll do a good job. He's a bit young, if you ask me, but he's got the right attitude. He's kind of a quippy knockoff Indiana Jones type.
Really is. He might be like purposefully portrayed younger though in the Spider-Man movies and things like that.
He can play older.
I think
He looks a lot older and harder in that Cherry movie that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, that's one. Sometimes, depends on which game you are. I don't like the horror ones, but I like when you play them and I'm in the same room so I can kind of half watch and stuff. I like this one. It was a fun one. I like quips, is what it is.
Yeah, Uncharted is a very cinematic series, so it is. Kind of nice to watch because there's lots of movies and plot and all that. It's not just shooting bad guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the other thing we need to talk about is, what are you drinking?
Well, so we stayed up pretty late last night and binged the entire series of WandaVision.
We did. And the making of. And the Legends.
And the Legends, yeah. So we're ready for Falcon and the Winter Soldier as well. But so we were planning on podcasting after that, but it kind of got a little late. And so we're doing it in the morning, and I'm just having plain old black coffee.
Yep. Likewise. Plain black coffee. You got me to drink black coffee somehow. I don't know how.
I don't know either.
It's good in the morning.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum. Before we get to the news, we have been doing the Marvel Minute, but it's just like a reaction to the last thing. Well, we did a reaction to the last episode of WandaVision last time, but the new thing that came out on Friday was that making of. So just, we're going to talk about it later, but what was your gut reaction to that?
First of all, it's really cool they've announced that they're going to make these Marvel Assembled for every project this year, I guess.
And there's a lot of projects this year.
There's a lot, and it was really well put together. Mm-hmm. You got to see a lot of cool behind-the-scenes stuff, and it was well edited, and it was very watchable. It was an hour long, and it seemed to fly by. It wasn't like a boring documentary or whatever. I mean, I like the behind-the-scenes stuff anyway.
Too. Yeah, but if you're at all interested in any of that, I thought it was really well put together as well, so definitely recommend that. So that was, what did you say? We have something new Marvel content every single Friday this year. So this was the one for this last week, transition from WandaVision into
Falcon. It's theorized that we have something every week.
Oh, that's true. There's a couple question marks.
Because it's still not clear when the features are being released and when they'll hit Disney Plus. But there is going to be new content basically every Friday.
Totally.
And maybe most of it will be Marvel.
Seems like. Cool. So that is going to take us to the news. Disney A News Update. All right. So I have some news items. I have one not so great and three pretty interesting. So let's start with the not so great. Disneyland Paris was supposed to open here in the next, beginning of April, I think, April 4th or something. That's been postponed. France is not doing well with the pandemic right now. And so that's just been pushed off. So not great in the world of Disney. It has been officially, as of, actually we're recording this on the 13th on Saturday, and so it has been officially a year since Disneyland closed. It has been officially a year since my students walked out of my classroom and I didn't see them again until September. So like this is the line.
Yeah, and
the
like basically a year since the sports league shut down.
Yeah, some of them started a little earlier, some of them a little bit held on a couple days, but this week was a year.
They basically had the NBA and the NHL going on at that time. They both shut down within like a couple days of each other, and it was,
so this is, we're marking the year basically here. So I can't say that we're surprised these things are still happening, although overall things do seem to be on a definite upward turn for most places. And of course the more places that are an upward turn, the like that spreads.
Yeah.
Kind of like a virus, but in a positive way.
Reverse viral.
So that's not so great. But we have some three interesting things. First of all, on the upward spin, Touch of Disney is coming soon, like next week.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to watch. Man, we got a lot of stuff to watch this week. Holy. So I'm excited to watch some of the coverage of like the event and everything from some of our favorite YouTubers is probably going to
I can't say as I would be super excited to go myself at that ticket price. Basically just to walk through the park and have a little bit of snacky snacks, but it'll be interesting to see what they have.
I don't know, I think if we lived like right there I'd probably be pretty tempted to go, because I think it's going to be like an event, and there's snacky snacks, and I don't know, like I think there's gonna be some characters, there's gonna be some entertainment and things like that. I think if we lived really close I'd be pretty tempted. I'm not like devastated we're not obviously able to go. It is a pretty steep price, but then again parking's steep there and everything, so once you factor everything in,
I mean they can charge whatever they want basically.
It's true they sold out within like right away, so that's pretty cool. That's gonna be, I'm really interested to watch that coverage. And then the other thing is there are some updates on Disneyland opening, but nothing super concrete. It has been projected we're looking late April, just because the statement that was released was that it's going to take a few weeks to get, you know, cast members back and everything kind of up ready to go. We do know they have been running rides, but now they've got to kind of kick it up a notch. There have been lots and lots of images and videos of cast members going through things, and you can tell they're getting ready to open.
They have to train the cast members. 100%. Like they've been not working for a year.
Yeah.
And then also they have all these new protocols and stuff that they have to get them ready for. So that makes sense.
I am sure that we will have a date and stuff like that soon. It has been said officially Max Pass, Fast Pass, things like that, a single rider are not going to be available. And of course they aren't going to be available. Mm-hmm. But they have to say it. The same thing they said, like there will be social distancing, there will be masking, and of course, but they have to say it. Mm-hmm. So those are the new things that have come up, and it's nice to just get some official words on that, because it's really exciting. And then the last thing, as of like this morning, there have been leaked some upcoming dates. Now these are leaks, these are rumors, these are take with a serious grain of salt,
huge
grains of salt. These movies have been announced that they were coming, but we didn't have dates. So these are dates, and they are very, very, very like serious grain of salt dates. For Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, projected February 17th, 2023. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, May 5th, 2023. And Fantastic Four, July 8th, 2023. Which not only huge grains of salt, but like quite far away, where things could change even if it was
quite far away. I take away from that the February release date is fairly interesting.
Right?
They are really pushing to expand that good release window, because February used to be an absolute dead zone for movies.
Yeah.
Only thing worse was January.
Maybe they're figuring if anyone can bring out Marvel can. And quite frankly, I will line up and go watch Ant-Man and the Wasp in February.
Oh, sure.
100%.
Well, I think they can do it. And why not? You have
if
all
anyone
these,
can, they can.
You have all these movies coming out. You need to find release windows for them so they're not competing with each other.
And I feel like they kind of had a little bit of a stall where maybe initially some of these movies were spread out a little bit more, but now they're kind of like having to rush to catch up. I think we're going to see that for several years. Once movies start rolling out again. So I don't think we should be surprised to see 3 movies released in like 6 months.
Yeah, and well, they have the Marvel slate, and they have the Star Wars slate as it is. They are going to start making movies of Star Wars again, so they'll have to find release windows for those. And they have the Avatar sequels coming out.
Oh my goodness, I totally forgot about those.
They own that as well. Oh, that was the news that I read.
Oh, yes.
Avatar actually repassed Endgame as the highest grossing film. They had a little mini re-release this past week. It was only $7 million behind or something like that.
Well, so they're neck and neck.
So
Endgame should just do another one and they'll just pass it.
They're going to leapfrog and give each other press all the time. But yeah, I think it's just like a little press stunt to say, yeah, this is the highest grossing movie of all time and here's the sequel kind of thing.
That's pretty smart, actually.
Genius.
That's pretty smart. These guys just know what they're doing.
Avatar wasn't my favorite movie. I wouldn't mind seeing it again in theaters because that 3D, just the 3D itself was awesome.
I'm inclined to agree with you. We've only seen out once.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for some people this is like their ultimate favorite movie. I really appreciated, like you said, the 3D, the cinematography, like the all of that. The story I thought was good, but it had been hyped so much. Anything that's super hyped, you have to be it was fun. It was good.
Yeah.
But I would like to see it again. Mm-hmm. I really would. Especially before we go to Disney World. I want to go to Disney World really badly and go through Pandora.
Pandora in Animal Kingdom looks awesome.
It looks amazing. And I'd really, really like to go. Yeah. Okay. So any other news we want to add to that?
No, I think that about covers it this week.
All right. So let's move on to our main topic.
There was an idea to bring together a couple of regular podcasters to see if they could talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We call it the Disney A Initiative. Oh, I was hoping we'd get our own special theme song.
Watch that assembled thing. They talk about the theme songs. I know. We could do like a 50s, like a doo-wop kind of thing. Okay. What was your favorite theme song that they did? Do you want to talk about it later?
Yeah, let's. Okay. We should just go through the episodes and kind of talk about them and then pick our favorite episode. Pick our favorite theme song.
Okay.
And maybe our favorite commercial.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
Deal. We literally did not discuss this before any record. But I do have here a list of the episodes.
Yeah.
First of all, I love the way the episodes are titled.
Yeah, everything. Like, it was interesting because they didn't have episode titles right at the beginning. Like, when the first couple came out, they didn't have... It was just episode one,
episode two.
Yeah, and then they added them after, and then they kept going, and it was, like, perfectly themed.
Because the first two episodes came out on the same day, and it wasn't until the next week when they released the third one that they went back and labeled them, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, episode one, filmed before a live studio audience.
Because it was filmed before a live studio audience.
Which... Again, watch Marvel Assembled, the making of, and that section where they had the live studio audience was very fascinating. It was like right before the pandemic hit, clearly, because later on you see in the other episodes, all the crew is wearing masks and stuff like that, but they had everything perfectly themed to the era, the lights, the cameras,
even
the chairs that they made the audience sit in.
For 50s style chairs.
And I think this really added to the authenticity of the episode.
I totally agree. It talks about how, you know, the crew who was working the 50s style lights were in 50s outfits. And the audience who came in sitting on 50s chairs, they all dressed the part of being in the 1950s.
They looked like they were in the 50s. They were all dressed up fancy.
They're going to Dapper Day or something.
Yeah, it was great. So... This episode was interesting. We're pretty far removed from the 50s these days. And I think Elizabeth and Paul were kind of like sort of just getting used to the weirdness of this whole endeavor. I do believe that they shot these episodes in order because they had to remake the exteriors and all that.
Right. Yes.
So they had to stick to that schedule. And I think it actually does work because it seems like they're just getting into the weirdness and it adds to that Twilight Zone-y off feeling
we'll
a little bit.
We'll probably say Twilight Zone a couple times, especially in this first episode.
Yeah.
We're just like, something's weird, something's off kilter, and it's very Twilight Zone-ish. Like, that is the feeling of it. And we're just like, what's going on?
What's going on? And
it's like something's a little off, but it's supposed to feel like something's a little off.
I just feel bad for the casual viewer who had no idea what they were getting into, turning this on and going, what on earth is happening?
I loved it.
Yeah.
So much. I'm really glad we went and rewatched it all last night because I think I spent most of the time watching the first episode like squealing. I mean, like, oh my God. Oh my God. I love like this. I don't necessarily like want to be in the 50s because, you know, rights and whatnot, but I love the style and everything, and the attention to detail was crazy. We knew because it was advertised as such that you're going through the different decades. Mm-hmm. But if you had no idea,
oh, new Marvel show, that looks cool.
Like, what the heck am I watching? It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You said you got Bewitched vibes, actually, even though it's 50s, not 60s.
Yeah.
But just her, you know, magical.
Yeah,
shenanigans.
It's the dramatic irony of she's got this secret and, mm-hmm. and they're trying to hide it. The first two episodes, they explore that pretty well, and it's funny.
Yeah, it really is. I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I could watch a season of them in the 1950s doing silly things like they were.
And so the commercial of this episode was the Toastmate 2000 from Stark Industries. And you had the blinking red light.
Yep, the only color.
The only color from that episode. And that was a pretty good commercial.
I like that one.
It's pretty obvious what these commercials end up representing down the road. But it was good part of the mystery box exploration of what the heck is going on. And
yeah, you kind of waited to see what the commercial was this time around. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to pick a favorite commercial here, Brandon. This is mean. Okay, your gut reaction to number one. Overall,
it was a good intro. So. I think it gave you a good introduction to the series, and then they had some room to grow as well.
Yep. Second episode, Don't Touch That Dial. So we're in the 1960s here.
Yeah.
And we're starting in black and white. Of course, by the end, we're moving to color in quite a scene.
So the theme song to this one, that's very Bewitched, obviously.
Yes.
And the comedy in this one is just like, off the scale. Gum Drunk Vision.
Yes.
Is hilarious.
He really is. I was almost crying watching this.
Flourish.
Flourish. And you will believe us. Because you are dumb.
We will lie to you, you stupid humans. Oh, so good.
So good. And then he's just, I am so sorry. He was Gum Drunk Vision.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yes, I identify with that. I have may have been in that state once or twice. Not from gum.
From gum?
Yeah.
Chocolate?
Yeah, don't swallow your gum, children.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, like, there's additional mysteries. You have the radio scene, and you don't know what's going on with Dottie.
What did you think of that casting?
I liked it. Having red herrings is good in any mystery. This was like a major one.
Yeah, this one worked on a couple different levels too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to. So Dottie, if you don't know, is played by Emma Caulfield. And she plays this queen of the block, kind of. She's on every committee and she's like ultimate housewife extraordinaire. Agnes says that her roses bloom under penalty of death. And also Agnes being like a drunk 60s housewife was quite funny.
She fits in every era.
She really does. She keeps spiking everyone's like little juices.
How does anybody do this sober?
Exactly. But Dottie is this like menacing entity. And there is this moment before the radio where she says, you know, I've heard rumors and I don't believe you. And this is very sinister, very sinister. And then it's a total red herring. But also, it's Emma Caulfield. And if you're watching this show, you might be just a Marvel fan, or you might be like quite into nerd
genre
references.
Fan, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Emma Caulfield's most famous role was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm. So she dabbles in witchcraft, which gets her turned into a demon,
yes.
if you remember from the angel explanation that episode. Yeah, so it fits right in, and it's like kind of tweaking that part of your brain that she must be important.
It's a little nod, right? Mm. Where all of a sudden she shows up, and oh my goodness, all this stuff. And also, they didn't explore this, and I feel like it was a missed opportunity, but just like maybe just a fun little nod Easter egg. It's the episode where we meet Senior Scratchy. She has a thing for bunnies in Buffy. Or against bunnies.
Apparently that was entirely unintended.
That's who I said. I said, really? All she needed to do was like give a little look at it and be like, oh, and like run away.
Yeah,
and
it would have been funny. Would have been funny, but it was a good, really good episode. The commercial was the Strucker watch.
Yes, by Hydra.
By Hydra, yes. Which is, of course, a good reference to Age of Ultron.
Yep.
Who, the original villain, he gets unceremoniously offed right at the beginning. Yeah. But,
yep.
So that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This one also had a really fun sitcom opening with the branches knocking on the window and stuff like that. I thought that was cute.
I liked that these two episodes were released together.
Yep.
They are the most sitcom-y of the sitcoms.
Agreed.
It was a good introduction, and it allowed us to start wondering what the mysteries were. And
then the end here was our first, like, we've had some sinister overtones for sure, and some, like, something's not quite right. And then the end was our first, like, what the heck is going on? She stands up, and she's pregnant. Like, that's a thing. Then you have the moment where the beekeeper sword agent comes out of the sewer, and she's, nope. And goes back, and that's, and like our first, like, what the heck? You have that rewind scene, and then we move to color.
Well, so
that was quite the transition.
For me, this was your we're not in Kansas anymore moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hence the transition to color, just like Wizard of Oz.
And we had a couple Wizard of Oz references, didn't we?
Definitely was part of the influence, which is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. What did you think?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's really good. I actually liked it even more watching it the second time. Just
having watched it again, it holds up.
Yep.
As a second viewing, and it works as like a long movie.
It really does.
Like,
it really, really does.
The chunks of the episodes are important because like they have the time gaps and all that. But watching it in one sitting was awesome.
It really was. I'm glad we didn't the first time though. I actually liked having especially for something like this where it's supposed to be like a sitcom, you had to wait until the next week. Like,
yes,
it worked really well.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that later, but the release schedule was important for this. You allowed the fan theories to percolate.
Yeah,
and maybe percolate too much, but
yeah, well, that's the fans' problem.
that's their fault. And if you had binged this all at once the first time around, it wouldn't have had the impact.
Agreed. Totally. Okay, number three is Now in Color. So we're in the 70s. Wanda starts at about 4 months pregnant, even though she's actually 12 hours pregnant, Vision says. And by the end, twins.
Yeah.
What a twist.
Yes, Darcy is all of us.
Yes.
I'm
infested.
Yeah, this was like a perfect 70s vibe. We didn't get a whole lot of plot other than the twins being born.
Well, that was the big thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked, you know what I did? Appreciated more though, because first time it was just kind of done for laughs. The second time though, it actually said something, is when like she can't control her powers, like she's having a contraction or whatever and things are flying off, and he's like, we should move out of the kitchen because like knives are gonna start like flying through the air or something. Like, of course we saw that in the movies, but this is just like a little reminder for there. Here it's done for laughs, but you know.
Yeah And so then the commercial for this episode was the Hydra Soak.
Yes.
Soap, when you want to get away from your problems, which is pretty good foreshadowing, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There's we had another Hydra one back to back, though. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Aren't the commercials just so perfect for the time frame?
Yeah, they do a really good job making the commercials feel like a real commercial was from that time period.
But sinister,
yeah.
Yeah, like whether it's the toast
and
or
the
watch.
Actress that is in each of them, she has like perfect dead commercial eyes.
It's
like
true.
Like, she does a really good job. So
perfect for all of them. Like, just fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. Okay. What did you think about this 70s one?
It was good. It did what it needed to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It wasn't my favorite of the sitcom ones, but
I agree. I know a lot of people liked it because the 70s, first of all, is just fun to know, overact and stuff, and you had Wanda pregnant, which people like were freaking out over and everything, and I did like her, like their outfits and stuff were super fun, But yeah, I agree. I liked the 50s and 60s more as far as the episodes go. I really did like the montage opening song for the 70s. This is the one where they had the compilation of them like going baby clothes shopping and eating ice cream and stuff like that. Like, it was super cheesy. It was fun.
Very, very Brady Bunch.
Very Brady Bunch. Really liked all the theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, watch Assembled. They talk about it a lot. Okay. Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
And then, of course, we have the Geraldine to Monica Rambeau reveal at the end.
That's the big moment.
That's the big moment, and it's just more mystery.
Yeah, and sinister. Something's going on. Like, whoa, what's going on?
Perfect TV cliffhanger, and it moves into our first non-sitcom episode.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said when these were first... like, did the early releases to, like, critics and things like that, they showed them the first
three. Yes, the review package for critics before this came out was the first three episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was what they were left with, and they had to write their review for the series based on that. Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so episode 4 is titled, We Interrupt This Program.
Mm-hmm. And they interrupt the program.
Yeah, literally. So this takes place entirely outside of Westview, basically. Like, you get some clips of Monica being inside, but yeah, it's just basically her story and how they got there and why Sword's there and
what the heck is going on. What the heck's going on in the outside world?
Mm-hmm.
This actually opens with Monica waking up in the hospital, being unblipped.
Yeah,
and that scene was fantastic.
Yes, I do wish they would do more of it.
Yeah.
Maybe
they will, like, bits and pieces.
I don't know. I think I've read some things. They don't really want to focus too much on the past. They don't want to focus too much on Thanos. He's gone. And the whole blip thing is maybe a little too close to home these days.
Oh, yeah, no,
with a worldwide pandemic, it's not really super fun filmmaking anymore, right. I guess. So this might be as close as we get.
This was just so fantastic because I was, you know, other ones have talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man kind of did it for laughs, mm-hmm. I think. But here's where we saw, like, the chaos being unblipped in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, no room, no capacity. Can't find these people. Like, she doesn't realize what's happened or anything.
Yeah. Absolute chaos.
Absolute chaos. And that's shot so well. It's a great scene. Okay, so that's how we open. We meet Monica. We understand the connection with... of course, we've met her before. I shouldn't say we meet adult Monica.
Yes.
Yes, because last time we saw her was in Captain Marvel, and she was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you have some nice little voiceovers pulled from Captain Marvel.
Both her mother and Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A couple times we see that again later on in the...
Yeah, which is a nice touch. I like it.
I really do, too. Because it actually develops Monica as a character. I hope they do her justice because I think she's cool. I think that they set her up here to be really interesting, and I don't want them to do to her what they did to Pepper Potts.
Yeah, hopefully not just a glorified cameo in the next movie kind of thing. But we'll see.
Here we're pretty cool, so don't mess that up, please.
Yep, and we of course meet Agent Jimmy Woo again.
Agent Jimmy Woo, flourish.
He's been practicing his magic.
Up close magic.
and then we also meet Darcy again.
Doctor.
Who's now a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Spent her 5 years...
becoming an astrophysicist, apparently.
Yeah, so...
not only becoming an astrophysicist, but becoming, like, an expert in the field. But to be fair, I mean, look at her past experiences.
Yes. She's had some hands-on experience with some weird astrophysics stuff.
Can I just say, all of the scenes with Darcy and Jimmy Woo, can we have a spin-off show with those two? It's like, seriously.
They work really well together, yeah.
His bumbling, like...
yeah.
Adorkableness and her, like... dry, sardonic wit.
yeah, she's very sassy and competent, and he's competent but kind of still bumbling at the same time.
Exactly,
yeah, it's interesting.
It's a great, they just have great chemistry together. I just really enjoy all the scenes with them.
Yeah, and it's nice to see what's previously happened from another perspective.
Yeah.
And
not just the biggies that we've been following. And I like that they're bringing in like these other people from these different things. Jimmy Woo was from Ant-Man 2, you know, like Darcy was from, like, you have one from Captain Marvel, one from Ant-Man 2, one from, well, Thor. The first two Thor movies, which wasn't even in Ragnarok, right? So yeah, you have all these different pieces like this. They're like, there's overlap. It happens in the world.
It makes that universe feel like an actual universe.
Exactly. I like those elements. Also, we meet Hayward. What do you think about Hayward?
They set him up to be a compelling person, individual, and having some reasons for his maybe less than ethical approach to things.
Yeah.
And then they kind of push him off a cliff, and later on he becomes like a mustache twirling Bond villain.
Well, I don't think they push him off a cliff so much as into a building.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I had hopes in this episode. He's good in this episode.
He was good in this episode. And there was still something not quite right about him. He wasn't like set up as a bad guy in this. But he's just like, there's something I don't know about you, dude. Yeah, and it might just be that you're like already siding with Monica and you can see some kind of tension there or something. Right. But yeah, I know you mentioned before that it would have been nice if they had just like left him as this side character that has like these undertones and
He can do bad things, but he doesn't have to be like pure evil.
Yeah, he ends up pure evil.
Yeah.
Anything else to add about this? We interrupt this program.
No, it was good. We got some answers and asked more questions.
Yeah. Let's move on to episode 5. We're past the halfway point at this point on a very special episode. Let's go to the 80s.
Yeah. So,
and what the 80s are.
Very, very 80s.
Before we talk about it all, can we just talk about Vision's hair?
He's got quite the mop for this one, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I love the title of this one.
Yes, I feel like I need to say it like this.
Yeah.
On a very special episode.
Which was very big in the 80s, and every time I hear it, I actually think of Clone High, because every single episode of Clone High was a very special
episode of Clone High.
Hilarious, hilarious. Yeah, so it was just a fun era. They did well with that. They pushed the twins up so that they're 10, so they can actually do
start
some
as
stuff.
Infants, jump to 5, jump to 10. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, the big reveal at the end of this episode was...
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so, that's the major thing that happens here.
Do we want to, before we get to that, do you want to talk about anything else in this episode? Because this is the one with the credits that I thought, that I was thinking of, where you have Baby Vision.
Yes, the credits are adorable, and, Baby Vision with his little red face, baby picture is funny. Yep.
You also have this really weird, we have a couple moments, really weird blip with... Agnes and where she says like, do you want me to do it again?
Oh yeah,
right. And you have this like, what's going on? And you have this disconnect between the two of them, and they're not even really involved in that anymore. Yeah, and she actually rewinds Vision at one point too, so it's interesting. Then you have the boys and Sparky. Sparky. And then the reveal at the end. Well, tell me about the reveal at the end.
So, when the show was, like, being promoted and stuff, there were some rumors that Evan Peters had been cast. And of course, there's that whole crossover that he was Quicksilver in the Fox universe.
Yep.
And so there was a lot of speculation. And then they actually revealed him as Quicksilver.
Yep.
And they cut away to Darcy being like, she recast Pietro and all this stuff. It was an absolute bombshell of an episode.
End of episode at that point.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And I'm hoping that they continue exploring it in the movies where they can do big reveals. I don't think they wanted to go full crazy multiverse in the TV show.
Especially not the first one.
Well, just to expect people to watch absolutely everything and then follow it in the movies. They're going to do the really big stuff in a movie.
Totally.
I
remember right after we watched it, you just sat there and you're like, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
God, they did it.
Yep.
Actually did that. I think when we get to episode 9, we can talk a little bit more about this Pietro.
Yeah.
Pietro.
Pietro. Ralph.
Oh, Ralph. Okay. Anything else to add for on a very special episode?
And then the commercial for this episode was the Lagos paper towels.
Right.
For when you make a mess.
Yeah, that you didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good reference, of course, to her problems at the beginning of Civil War.
Right. Yes. Which they did talk about in, I don't remember if that was episode 4, if that was later on, where they referenced kind of like a review of those. Yeah. and I liked them fighting over the end credits before you have your Evan Peters reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that takes us to episode 6, all new Halloween Spooktacular.
Very, very important. It's Spooktacular.
Spooktacular, because it's Halloween.
Yeah, so...
We're in the 90s, first of all.
90s. Late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, we have some overlap. Just like the last episode was kind of late 80s, early 90s.
Yes, exactly. And quite frankly, the they've all been, you know... Yeah, there's always overlap, though, in actual sitcoms and things. We see that. So, yes, but this one is very Malcolm in the Middle-ish.
Yeah, the intro and, mm-hmm. and all that... They use this episode a lot in the promotional materials as well because they get to wear Halloween costumes
right.
that are a big nod to their comic book authentic costumes.
Yeah, we actually got the pop figures for these ones and the 50s. But she is dressed like the comic book Scarlet Witch, but she says she's a Sokovian fortune teller. And he is dressed like the comic book Vision, but says he's a Mexican wrestler.
And it's funny because they're like cheap homebrewed versions.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, he's wearing wrestling shorts pulled up past his belly button, and yeah, it's very clever.
And you even have the Quicksilver one.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So that is, those were just super fun.
Yeah.
That was great. So you have in this one also a little bit more with Pietro.
He's trying to get out from Wanda, who's, how she's doing what she's doing, and trying to... endear himself to her.
Yeah. But at the same time, she's super suspicious. She says things like, you know, she's like trying to quiz him on, mm-hmm. hey, what was the name of that kid? And why do you look different? And
she's not sure about him at all for good reason.
Right.
And Vision's not sure about anything anymore.
No.
So he goes trying to explore. And
you have some great moments here, again, that were used in the promotional items with, you know, the woman hanging, like, the ghost on the clothesline and just, like, over and over again crying and things. And some great little moments throughout this as Vision gets to the end of town as he's exploring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some horror elements for a Halloween episode.
It was great.
Works pretty well. And
then you also have the boys having powers by the end.
Mm-hmm.
So in the very end, while Vision is exploring, he actually makes it through this barrier.
Yeah, he goes through the barrier. He sees the sword base, and they're all looking at him, and he starts disintegrating, basically.
Literally disintegrating, yeah.
And Billy actually senses this and tells his mother that something's happening, and she fixes it by expanding the wall,
yep.
kind of absorbing the base and turning it into a circus.
Which is a funny scene. And Darcy's in here now.
Yeah.
Darcy's now in the
She gets sucked in.
She said she wanted a bit part, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that one. And the commercial this time was Yo Magic in its claymation style.
Like gushies and the
fruit gushers and like some like yogurt commercials.
Yeah,
very similar to that style.
I distinctly remember that shark from 90s commercials.
Very creepy.
It was so creepy. This was maybe the most sinister of all of them.
Yeah.
Because the little boy can't get to the yogurt and then dies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a funny commercial. Okay, what did you think of this one?
It was good.
Yeah, I liked it too.
It had a good atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we leave from there going straight into Breaking the Fourth Wall, episode 7 takes place immediately after she expands the hex.
Mm-hmm.
And called it the hex. And now we're into like The Office, Modern Family. Like, we've caught up with current sitcom style things now.
Yeah, like late 2000s, 2010s type of thing.
Exactly.
Mockumentary style, no laugh track.
Nope.
Talking to the camera.
Yeah.
And they have some good cutaway looks in this. It's just so spot on.
I really enjoy when Vision is like talking to the camera. Somebody's like, wait a minute, what am I doing?
What am I doing here?
Hold on a second.
All right, I can fly.
But yes, the cutaway looks are my favorite thing here. Mm-hmm. It was so fantastic.
Yeah, no, this episode's excellent. Everything from the very Office-inspired theme song.
Super Office, yeah.
And then the big Agnes Agatha reveal
the end. Oh, yes, yes. That end scene is... Oh, and we have Monica back as Monica now, back in the Hex as well. She goes through on her own.
Right.
We also have it developed that it has been rewriting her cells passing through the Hex. So this is now the third time, and she gets that moment again going through it where you see like the images of herself walking through, and you hear those voices and everything. She's full out like powers now.
Yeah, pretty good origin story.
Yeah, pretty nice. I like it. And then you have a little bit of a confrontation between herself and Wanda, where she even gets to do a superhero pose. And then, isn't that so nice that Agnes shows up? What a nice neighbor she is, huh? Man, she's so nice. Yeah. We have the end scene, the big reveal about what big basement space she has.
Big basement, and she has her own little theme song.
That is the best part of this whole, which is already an awesome episode. Mm-hmm. Best part of it. It's a great theme song. This was Agatha all along.
a chart-topping hit on iTunes, apparently.
That's
yeah.
Fantastic, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm putting it on my playlist now.
Very cool. And then this was the final commercial.
Yes.
For a Nexus antidepressant.
Yes.
I was just shocked watching this one again, how spot on it is to a drug commercial.
And like, then just taken far to be even more sinister is the idea. Yeah. Yeah, it was exactly like that, but just like the voiceover or any reality you choose.
Yeah, just really good.
Yeah. Even Agatha's hair going from like it's all out and frizzy, and when she comes out petting that rabbit, and it was just fantastic, that reveal. I loved it.
She goes full witch mode for sure.
Full witch mode. What? So overall, you were pretty pleased with this one?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent. That takes us to previously on.
Yes. Episode 8. The penultimate episode.
Mm-hmm.
Hype is at a fever pitch. And we go straight into a clips show.
Yeah.
Basically.
Which is very TV show-ish.
Very TV show.
But a clips with a twist.
Yeah. So the title of this episode, previously on, is perfect again. I was a little bit disappointed when I first watched this one.
I was not.
Well, basically, you have your hype at this high, high level.
Yeah.
And then you just, like, go back and look at history.
Yeah.
No answers, really. Just kind of exploring what happened to Wanda previously.
I don't know why I could think that you have no answers, because you see how she does this. She did all of it. That's a big answer.
It just, on first watching, I wanted the plot to move forward, and it did not move forward.
Okay, yeah, it just filled in the blanks.
But when I had a chance to sleep on it and think about it, it is so similar to a recap that you would have before a big episode.
Yep.
Series finale, season finale. But they just stretched it out into episode length, where you see stuff that's already happened, but maybe they add a little bit or clarify a little bit, and like what's going to be important for that episode. That's what they did here, and it works really well.
I thought it worked really well. So what they do is Agatha is trying to figure out how Wanda did this, like everyone else is trying to figure out how she did it.
She has the best line. I have a theory, but I need more, which is what everyone was thinking this whole series. Like,
I have a theory, but I need more.
Yeah. It was perfect. It was like, that's the entire audience. Yeah. So many theories.
And they want more.
And they want more. Yeah.
Which says something to have fans that invested in it. So she takes it through. So for example, we knew about she and Pietro being trapped under a table for days while the Stark bomb is like sitting there looking at them basically after their parents die. Now we are understanding that maybe the reason this bomb never went off was because little old witch. She says baby witch. Agatha calls her baby witch.
She did the hand wavy thing.
Mm-hmm, she did. Yeah, the magic hand thing. maybe she had something to do with it. We have when Pietro and Wanda were sitting there watching TV and the parents were sitting behind them. When the bomb goes off, the parents die. When Wanda wakes up, Pietro's nowhere to be found. He comes running from the other side. So we get hinted at maybe he ran.
Yeah.
No answers, but hints.
This is like a theory that we have.
Yes.
It's not hinted at very strongly, but perhaps he escaped the blast by his speed or something.
Which makes sense, because Agatha does strongly, like she flat out says that it didn't go off because you did this. And she said, no, it was defective. It never went off. So if Wanda had that capability, it makes sense that then so did Pietro, because they were that. Then we move into actually seeing the her volunteering for an experiment for the first time. We understand that she's the first one who survived. We have in her vision at the vision. of seeing the Mind Stone, we have quite the silhouette that we see. So we get all of these other pieces that are filling in the blanks, of course, ending with her creating the hex. We do understand she was telling the truth. She didn't mean to do it.
No.
There was no sinister intent here. And we have the line that has already been quoted and memed and everything like that. A fabulously written line, which is, of course, what is grief if not love persevering? Like some people bawled like their eyes at watching this. I cried more watching it the second time, actually. Mm. Just, yeah, seeing when she goes and sees Vision's body and things like that. And I was just like, yeah, dang.
It highlights that this series is about grief and dealing it with is. That and the Man. Various ways that people do deal with it.
And then we have the big moment at the end. Agatha has the boys out in the street and she says, like, this is chaos magic. You've created something. You haven't altered something. You've created something.
Literally, like $3 billion worth of vibranium and possibly an infinity stone.
Maybe.
Out of thin air.
That's kind of a thing. This is a big thing. And she calls her, for the very first time, the Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
They made a big deal in an earlier episode to point out that she did not have a weird nickname.
Yeah. This is,
so, yeah.
Which this, I noticed more this time watching, yes.
This is the first time that they actually use that in universe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you liked it more thinking about it.
Thinking about it, and I liked it quite a bit the second time watching it.
And also, like, and sometimes these things, especially when it, like, this type of episode, it's going to depend a lot on what comes after.
Yeah, it does. And the fact that I didn't have to wait another week to see the finale the second time helps as well. It's like, when you're already waiting a week and you don't get any plot moving forward, it is a little disheartening at first.
Okay, yeah.
To me.
That's fair. So, yeah, for me, I got answers, so I didn't care that the plot didn't move forward.
Right.
Okay. And then, finally, episode 9, which is just called the series finale, which tells us there's not another season here, people. That's been made completely clear.
Until they decide that they want to.
Right. So that what they said was they're not planning on another season. That doesn't mean there won't ever be another season. Or it might take another form or something.
Yep.
But they are not planning on another season. They are planning on leading into Doctor Strange Part 2, which we knew from the beginning.
It's pretty self-contained, and that's good.
Yeah, 100%. So, series finale, and this is a biggie. We've got, this is our epic Marvel moments here for all of the people who were whining.
They spent like half the budget on this episode, I'm pretty sure.
If not more. Okay, so we get a whole lot of stuff going on. Oh, at the end of the last episode, we didn't talk about White Vision.
Yes. So big, like, they didn't have
end credit scene.
They did not have a lot of end credit scenes in this. They only the last three episodes had end credit scenes.
Right.
And the first one was kind
Snoop
of
Snoop is gonna snoop.
Yeah, not that important. But yeah, the reveal of White Vision was big. You find out that she never did take Vision's body, and this is Vision's body, and the other
Hayward's a jerk.
Yeah. Lying jerk face. Yeah. So you have all the big confrontations coming up in this finale.
Mm-hmm.
You have the big witch fight. You have
a fight in the air. Have we had a fight in the air, really?
No.
Not like this anyway. You've had like a couple little shots and stuff, but not like this. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of kung fu wire work that they're doing, and then Vision versus Vision. Or the Vision versus Vision.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so there's just like a lot of action, a lot of special effects.
And a lot of conversation about philosophy.
Well, yeah. How else is a all-knowing synthesoid going to fight himself? That's philosophy,
exactly.
Obviously.
Obviously. What did you think about that? I know some people were kind of disappointed and some people loved it.
Oh, I thought it was great.
I thought it was fantastic. It makes sense.
They had some, like, they punched each other and they were going through each other and they had their vision beams and then they realized that they were kind of like evenly matched and, yeah.
But, like, that is how two computers, essentially, are going to battle.
Mm-hmm. No, it works well for me.
Require elaboration.
Works well for me, and it leaves an open plot thread because he just flies off, and it's good.
Yep, exactly. Now we have Vision somewhere out there. So the boys join, and they have this like family power moment where they all stand there, and the boys get to help out and everything. Darcy gets a little moment of fun where she stops the mustache twirling bad guy who decides he's going to shoot 10-year-olds.
Yeah, that's where it really was a stark contrast to him having some motivation. Like, during the blip, there was bad stuff going on, and the world was in shambles, and he's trying to just hold it together, and so maybe his ethics and morals have been tinged by that, and then he turns and starts shooting 10-year-olds.
Right, and I mean, to begin with, he starts shooting, well, he shoots at them, but there's almost like a franticness to it. And Monica runs in front of them and everything. And you get this, oh, apparently she does. She's bulletproof. That's pretty cool. And
Good thing.
She hadn't tried these powers, but good thing. I don't think it would have mattered to her. She's going to run in front of the 10-year-olds and save them.
Yeah.
But then he pauses and shoots again. So it's like not just frantic, crazy height of anything. It's like, I'm going to try and kill you. So Agatha and Wanda, what did you think of their big fight scene?
It was cool. They had, like you say, the flying aspect was interesting. The whole runes twist was maybe a little bit telegraphed from the previous episode. It was a very pointed conversation they had about runes, but...
A little bit, but you know.
Whatever.
It's also a TV show, yeah, which we remember.
It worked. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I really liked it. I liked the moments, actually, when the Westview residents became lucid and then not, and then, like, you know what I mean? Like, they were, I thought that was really well done. And we saw Dottie again, who's begging, she's like, make my daughter the school bully. I don't care. I just want her out of her room. Because we were asked a couple times, where are all the children? Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm not, like, hiding them or anything. Well, apparently you were. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that they fit into her images, and so they had to be, like, spirited away. So I thought those moments were pretty great. The big one, we see Scarlet Witch in her Scarlet Witch outfit.
Yeah.
Going by the name. She says, you don't need to tell me who I am. And, yep.
Yeah, she designs herself a new outfit, and she's got the crown.
Yep.
And it's a great costume.
I really like this. Beautifully done. That is a badass outfit right
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the crown, and she's a queen, basically.
Yeah.
And pretty powerful.
Yeah. Apparently more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yes. I've been saying she is the most powerful thing since we saw her. So.
Well, and Kevin Feige has been on record as saying that, and they just, like, put an in-universe confirmation of that fact. And I think that might lead into the next movie.
I'm sure it will.
When they're together.
Yeah.
As...
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure it will. And even in an earlier episode, there's a conversation between Darcy, Monica, and... Jimmy Woo, I think, is in that one as well. That is literally what every fan has had the conversation with. Like, I don't know, I think Captain Marvel's pretty strong. He's like, no, she held off Thanos.
Yeah, no, that was a very good meta fan discussion moment.
Like, I've had this conversation with people. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what they do with Strange and her together now. And then one of the end credit scene, of course, references Strange as well.
So yeah, let's talk about those end credit scenes.
Okay.
So you have some... resolution of the conflict. So, like, Westview is released and she loses her family.
That was devastating, by the way.
In the aftermath, Monica gets called into the theater.
Yep.
And it's revealed that one of the agents is actually a Skrull.
Yep.
And she's going to go meet someone up in space.
Yep.
We obviously know that's Nick Fury from his end credit scene. Where he wakes up in space. That was in Spider-Man, of course, the last Spider-Man
movie.
Right,
yeah.
So that's this big setup for Captain Marvel 2, we believe,
mm-hmm.
where they're going to be in space.
Cool.
Perhaps.
Cool.
Interesting. Like I say, hopefully it's a bigger part than a
I hope so.
Cameo. But
I did hear or read some people who were kind of concerned because she doesn't have this moment where she, like, tries to figure out her powers. Like, she runs in front and assumes she's bulletproof.
Eh.
You did get this very cool origin moment. The other thing you gotta remember, yeah, she was gone for 5 years, but she grew up with, like, Captain Marvel's bestie. Like, that was her mom.
Well, and something happened because, like you say, in that where they were discussing Scarlet Witch versus Captain Marvel power.
Yeah.
When Jimmy brings up Captain Marvel, she makes a face.
She does.
So there's something
went on
bad.
There,
yeah.
And she changes the subject awfully quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You also have, she's been in space
mm-hmm.
because otherwise she wouldn't care that she was grounded.
Yeah, no. She,
like, this, she's got some more story in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they need, like, they can answer some questions and stuff like that, but I don't think we need to go back in time and watch all of this.
Origin stories are overrated anyway.
I agree. That's this Spider-Man's strongest thing is we're not seeing another origin story. We're just, like, assuming we know.
Mm-hmm.
So we can fill in some of those blanks, but I want them to develop this character now.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I hope they do. And then the other end credit scene.
So then if you were really patient and stayed to the end credits.
If not, go back and watch it.
You have a nice sweeping shot
mm-hmm.
with some, like, Norse Viking music playing. We're not too sure where she is.
Looks beautiful, though.
some people have speculated she's, like, back in Sokovia or something like that. But, yeah, somewhere European.
Yep.
Beautiful mountains and that. And there's Wanda sitting in this little cabin.
Having a cup of tea.
In the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Cabin in the woods.
Definitely
and,
cabin in the
and
woods.
And there's a very specific directorial style as the camera sweeps in and goes into this little cabin.
Yep.
And it's very, very evocative of another cabin in the woods where there's a Book of the Damned.
Yep.
That happens to be directed by Sam Raimi.
That's an odd coincidence, isn't it?
Odd coincidence. So, yeah, if you don't know, Sam Raimi's going to be directing Doctor Strange 2.
Yep.
And he directed Evil Dead,
mm-hmm.
which...
cabin in the woods with Book and the Dead.
Yeah. Weird. And this cabin looks very, very similar to the cabin in Evil
Slightly
Dead.
More Viking-ish.
Yeah, but very cool. And then and inside the cabin you have Scarlet Witch doing a whole red version of the Doctor Strange learning pose.
With the book.
With the book. And you have a kind of twisted version of the Doctor Strange leitmotif playing in the background.
So cool.
Very, very deep. Cut and awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that just, I think, speaks to the levels of detail on
They go
literally
for the detail.
Across
this.
What I found really interesting was she's like making a cup of tea and she's like going about there. And then you have to go further to like Wanda's doing that. And
deeper,
then, deeper to see that. And then the last minute you hear the boys calling for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks up and flashes red and end.
Yeah.
Oh, that moment, which is a fantastic cliffhanger to leave us for way too long. Thank God we have other Marvel content coming out. And plus, you know, we left it so open-ended. When Wanda and Vision are saying goodbye to each other, they leave it like, this is devastating, this is heartbreaking, this is not necessarily the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Who knows?
So, and then even though the boys have disappeared, the fact that they're calling her says, there's
something.
Like,
there's something.
I can't wait to see her and Doctor Strange together. I cannot wait to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
She's not just straight up, like, they've been hinted at so many times, like, she could be the next big bad.
Mm-hmm.
Even Agnes is like, you don't know what you've done. You don't know what you've unleashed. You don't know anything like this.
No, but I kind of hope that they maybe tread that line, but don't make her a villain. Because
I 100%
I think,
agree.
I think that would be silly, but
I think that would be a disservice and extremely problematic. Overall, what did you think?
Well, it was awesome.
full stop.
having an episodic show to look forward to each week has been nice.
Mm-hmm. We did with Mandalorian.
Mandalorian. This one had more meta stuff going on,
which I really appreciated.
And just having those theories and everything, it was great. And I'm glad it was released weekly for that reason. What about you?
It is probably in my list of top five favorite shows of all time. You said meta, like, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that. I like, it would have had to be bad for me not to like it because I love Wanda so much,
right?
But the level of acting that came out on this was crazy. Like, I was beside myself. I literally was laughing out loud. I was literally bawling my eyes out. I was so invested. I loved this show. Absolutely loved it. Was it perfect? Heck no. The Ralph Boner thing was like, it threw me. I'm hoping they do something with that.
Yeah, so they had some dangling threads. The astrophysicist was a big one.
Yes, we talked about that watching the second time.
Aerospace engineer, whatever the heck yeah, not astrophysicist. Aerospace engineer was kind of a red herring, maybe. You think it could lead to something?
Well, I think that the words were carefully chosen to leave it so it could lead to something. Everyone was kind of disappointed that it wasn't the connection to the Fantastic Four.
Right. They really wanted it to be a connection to the Fantastic Four, but Fantastic Four isn't far enough along in development to do that yet.
But they left it open where
you can fill that in the past, kind of like they've done with previous maybe Iron Man villains being former Tony Stark employees that weren't actually in the movie, but they say that they were in the background kind of thing. You can do that.
The engineer that they talk about, I'm convinced they weren't there.
No, I don't think they were.
Some people said maybe the woman who she was talking to, but no, because they made a very specific point to call her like a general or something.
Major,
thank you. And she specifically says, did we get it right? Not did I get it right or anything like that, right? So they're leaving it where she's like the delivery person, basically, for this craft that they have made. And you don't know who it was. So I like that. I think it was like a little bit of a hint. I think people can calm down.
Yep.
And then the other one was the Ralph Boner thing.
Ralph Boner.
Boner.
Stunt casting to make a dick joke.
Yep. Basically, that was... Well, that's one possibility.
That's everyone was pretty disappointed. I was disappointed with that as well, to go through all of that.
Yeah.
But there's something still weird about him. So they are able to take that and run with it maybe later.
I think so. I don't think most people conveniently leave headshots of themselves kicking around... Well, I mean, you would if you were an actor, but if he's an act, you know what I mean? Like, they cast Evan Peters for a reason, and I don't think it was for a dick joke.
Yeah.
I hope not. And also, I love Evan Peters, so I was just happy to see him. So,
yeah.
We like American Horror Story, so. There are a couple things that I did want to mention about this, like, as far as review, and the one is that they're actually like psychologists who said like this was a really important show as far as its exploration of grief has gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's worth mentioning here.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so favorite commercial. Let's go commercial.
Favorite commercial. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I would probably say the antidepressant one. Mm-hmm. Not that it was the most important plot-wise or anything like that. I think the other ones tied in maybe a little better, but it was just so well done.
Right. Originally, when you said let's pick a favorite, I was automatically thinking the like the fruit gushers, the shark one with the yogurt. But I'm actually going to go for the first one. I'm going to go for the toaster with the red blinking light.
Yes.
Because that episode had just moments of like creepy going on. Like that really was Twilight Zone-ish and the red blinking light. It contributed so much to the initial tone and I really liked it.
Yep. No, I like that one as well.
Yep. Okay. Favorite episode.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
You kind of need all of them.
I know. You can't hit single one out.
But I think I'm going to go with episode 2, Don't Touch That Dial.
So good. It was so good.
I think this was them getting that sitcom feel perfectly before you go into the full Marvelness of it all. But it really set the tone as this is something weird and it was just funny on its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to pick a least favorite too? Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. Are you gonna anyway? You don't have to. It's okay. I like favorites.
No, I wouldn't. I couldn't.
I'm having enough trouble picking a favorite.
Maybe the 70s episode.
Yeah, maybe, but you can't not have it.
No, like it did what it needed to do. So yeah. I don't know.
My favorite. Oh God, I don't know how I'm gonna pick my favorite. The one that makes me the happiest would be the 50s or 60s. But I think I'm actually gonna go Previously On. I think I'm gonna go episode 8. It like devastated me and I wasn't ready to leave WandaVision yet, so I can't pick 9. But I would say, as far as the sitcom ones go, I totally agree. I'm gonna say that, and I don't want to pick the same one you did.
fair. The sitcom theme songs were a big part of this.
Yes, they really
the
intro were.
I was always excited to see how they were going to do the theme song for the next episode.
Right.
And my absolute favorite of these is the 2000s, 2010s, the office style one. It's just so good.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Well, you know what else is cool? Is it's the one that's Wanda, Owen Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked all of them. I don't know if I could pick a favorite, actually, because I enjoyed seeing Baby Vision. I thought that was hilarious.
I think you like that one the best.
I don't know, because I also really, really loved like the 50s one when they first show up.
Yeah, and the Bewitched one.
And the Bewitched one was great.
They're all good.
And there's so many little Easter eggs in the Bewitched one, too.
There is, yeah.
Oh, so I don't know. I think I'm gonna go for the 80s one, just because I've mentioned a couple times, like, little kid Vision was adorable and ridiculous.
I think you like that one the best.
But, yeah, they're all so good. The other thing I wanted to point out when we're talking the theme songs is I mentioned to you that someone put together when Wanda's voice is saying Previously On WandaVision, and it starts really excited, like, super sitcom-y, and by the end, it's like kind of almost monotone.
Monotone, and yeah.
It's like, Previously On WandaVision. And by then it's like, Previously On WandaVision. Mm-hmm. Like, each time is like a little less enthusiastic, which I thought was interesting. Anything else we want to add to this?
No, I think that wraps it up. Very excited for Doctor Strange 2. Watch WandaVision if you haven't already.
And I'm sorry for all the spoilers then, if you were, but that's your own fault. We warned you.
Yeah.
Rewatch WandaVision. Also, definitely check out Assembled, the Making of WandaVision, and those Legends. They did that really well.
Yeah, so just quickly on the Legends, I think this is a brilliant concept. I think we talked about it before, but...
We did, but we rewatched them, so let's talk about
it. Having a little mini recap of this greater universe to set up what's going to come is very important, because there's been 23 movies and now a 5-hour TV show, and it's just going to keep growing and growing. So to get someone that hasn't seen all of this stuff into the middle of this plot is very difficult, but they've edited these Legends things perfectly, and it catches you up in 5-8 minutes per character, and it's really good.
So they're so well done. First of all, I think the first time we watched like the Legends one right before WandaVision started, I like was crying watching them, because it was like so emotionally invested. I swear I don't cry at everything. It sounds like I do.
She does.
But we rewatched those, and then we watched the Legends one. There's 4 now for upcoming Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and these ones are really important. So Wanda and Vision both had huge moments in Infinity War and well, one of them had a huge moment in Endgame, but they're like quite central. So you might need You don't need a recap of those big moments so much, but they do include them, of course. You have Falcon and the Winter Soldier here having
they've been side characters.
Side characters, exactly. And then you have, like, the villain who comes by, or that, you know, like, you have side characters now, too. And those compilation things really helped me. I was like, wait, I forgot about that. And we've seen the movie several times. So if you haven't, yeah, I highly recommend watching these. They were excellent recaps. The other thing is, so smart of Marvel to figure out the releases the way they did and, like, string them together the way they do, because they have this really weird style show with WandaVision with several, like, they're fairly main characters. And then you have side characters and side characters in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which looks a lot less weird.
Yeah. So apparently originally they were going to release Falcon and the Winter Soldier first, and COVID happened and kind of, like, messed up the order of things. Mm-hmm. So it got switched around, but Feige was very happy that WandaVision, he thought that was a perfect transition into TV for the MCU. It works so well.
And then you have another main character with Loki coming out next after Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and that's another weird one. So you're going main, not red.
Yeah,
and weird, not weird, weird. Like, they alternate. I think it's perfect for your viewership.
And, well, not that they're not main, but, like, Bucky was, like, a side villain.
Yeah, he was.
In his own movie. And
he was kind of like a plot device for Captain America's development.
Yeah, and Falcon is been a sidekick the whole
100%.
Time. 100%.
Yeah. So I think it's really cool. Yeah. I'm really excited about this. It's a totally different tone, different type of character. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. So really watch Legends, watch Assembled, watch WandaVision. Excellent. And I think that takes us to trivia. So last time I asked you some questions about Marvel, the end of Phase 3. First question I asked was the last movie Stan Lee made a cameo in. This is what you said.
Captain Marvel.
Close. The answer is Endgame. He is in Endgame.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You watch just one movie off.
which, interestingly, WandaVision is actually the first MCU property that he wasn't credited as an executive producer on.
I didn't know that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess that's not my trivia today.
No, it's not.
Number two, for Endgame, who was the only actor who read the entire script? This is what you said.
This was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Close. That was for Infinity War.
Yeah, it was one movie off again.
Yeah, it was Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, they said maybe Chris Evans, but that has never been confirmed. The only one that was confirmed was Robert Downey Jr. because he came up with that line from Iron Man because he had seen the whole script.
Right.
Infinity War, who got a fake script? This is what you said.
Probably Tom Holland because he's terrible for spoilers.
I'm going to give this one to you for sure because he didn't get a real one.
We're pretty sure they give Tom Holland his script on, like, post-it notes the day of.
Right.
But there is another one that's...
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he's very bad for spoilers
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
He live-streamed, like, the first 10 minutes of Endgame by accident.
Terrible. Yeah. So both of them for sure got fake scripts. Most of the actors in it didn't get the full script period. Like you said, it was Robert Downey Jr. basically. Really, you could have said anyone, or they may have only gotten their scenes or something like that. But who got a completely fake script? Tom Holland and Mark Ruffalo was basically the two famous ones.
The spoiler twins, yeah.
And then your bonus line, I already told you was right. I love you 3000. Robert Downey Jr. did that one. Yep. Okay. So pretty solid.
Yeah.
You weren't far off.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah,
close,
exactly.
No cigar.
Reasonable on all of them.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some trivia questions all about WandaVision.
I'm excited and, probably don't know a lot.
Well, I found these kind of interesting. Uh-huh. You might, I don't know. I wanted to ask you some other questions, but a lot of those answers had been revealed in Disney Assembled.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Avengers Assembled, mm-hmm, or whatever the heck they call it.
Right.
And so it wasn't good. Like, the kitchen being painted blue and...
Oh, yeah.
And Vision's makeup
being blue
for the black and white
up.
Episode. Mm-hmm. So, stuff like that was pretty interesting.
Very interesting.
But the suburb cul-de-sac that they filmed on is a pretty famous backlot. And the house they actually live in, that they use for the exteriors, is featured in a movie that you've seen several times.
That we discussed while we were watching it, and now I don't remember.
What movie was that? Another family that has hijinks ensuing.
Is this an old movie?
Well, I mean, it's old now. I wouldn't classify it as an old movie, but it's getting
up
there.
It's like a comedy?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Home Alone. It doesn't look like it in my mind. But I remember discussing this with you, like, after episode, I don't know, three or something.
Okay. So we spent a lot of time talking about the theme songs.
Yes.
And some of the background music as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the songwriters and composer, mm-hmm. the three of them, have collaborated on another major Disney project in the past.
Okay.
What project?
Another major Disney project in the past. Is it animated?
Possibly.
Oh, you can tell me. Okay. Did they collaborate on The Incredibles?
Hmm.
I'm going to go Pixar.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, another superhero.
That's literally why I picked it.
Cool. Okay.
I have no idea. I have zero idea.
Going with The Incredibles. Okay. Well, speaking of previous superhero experience.
Okay.
Director Matt Shakman has directed previously for a superhero television project.
Oh, okay.
What did he do previously?
Was it Marvel?
No.
Okay.
Because Marvel hasn't had a previous superhero TV project. Well, I guess.
Yeah, they did.
Not Marvel Studios.
Oh, okay, okay.
Marvel Television Studios, yes. Like, had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Runaways and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was
wondering. Not tied to Marvel MCU much anymore, anyway.
All right, so not them.
Not those, though.
Okay. Did he do Batwoman? I don't know. I actually have zero idea on any of these. These are all really good questions. I just have zero idea.
I found them interesting.
Yes.
I
want to know.
I could have asked you easy ones, but...
Yeah, you could have.
That would be no fun. So.
I think that would have been fun.
Okay, so yeah, that does it. And tune in next week to find out what was the correct answer.
yes, I'm not confident on any of those, so that's neat. Thanks for that. So contact us on our social media if you have your own thoughts about what may or may not be the correct answer to that. Or through our website. You can also take that opportunity to vote for your favorite thrill ride for our March Madness. So that's our end of our show. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. You can also find us on social media, Instagram at disneya.podcast, Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all of them.
Ooh, all of them.
All of them. Please review our podcast and subscribe. That would be fantastic. We don't have any more reviews to read right now, so you should leave us some, and then we will read them. Unless they're, like, poor, and then you should email them, and then we can take your feedback. If you know someone who might like this podcast, please be sure to recommend Disney A to them. You can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4.
Except when we have really long episodes, yep. And they have to bump that up.
Yeah, yeah, except for then. That has happened several times now. It's Marvel. We need to cut down the Marvel episodes is the problem. There's just so much to talk about.
That's true.
We're so excited about it. Okay. So you can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. Seriously, listen to them. It is so much fun. And right now, it was kind of filling in the, like, I miss Disney gap. And I still do, but it's also like, I'm excited because Disneyland's going to open again. So join us next week. We're doing something pretty cool next week. We're going to a Disney Plus and Chill episode. Mm. We're talking the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, quack.
So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. I did bite a kid once. What the heck am I watching?